Hello, everyone. I am here today for our episode 69 with my awesome co-host, Christine Zamuda. Today's episode is inspired by our reflections on thriving with plants, nature, and outdoors. We have been reflecting on this actually ever since the Earth Day in April. There is a lot of study out there that says plants are more than just decorative elements. They actually contribute to our well-being in multiple ways. So we want to take the time today to dive into that and maybe cover some lesser known scientific facts as well as fun facts to inspire us to have a relationship with plants. So some of the key findings around how plants can help us, or greenery in general of any kind. There are a lot of proven studies that talks about their effect on stress reduction and anxiety relief. It says exposure to any kind of greenery, even indoors, has been linked to reduced heart rate and blood pressure, prompting relaxation. And I think we can all use that calming effect one way or another. So that's pretty interesting. The other piece is actually one of from my favorite places, Texas A&M University, which we are connected with. And it found that people who surround themselves with plants experience fewer depressive symptoms. As a matter of fact, there is plant-based therapy that is used to help veterans and disaster survivors to manage the PTSD. I think we see a lot of the service dogs and service animals who can help manage stress and manage anxiety. But plants are also found to be just as effective to complement ways by which we can cope with stress. Another study in Korea also showed that the cognitive behavioral therapy conducted in a forest setting led to higher remission rates for depression compared to hospital-based therapy. I think we see examples of that settings in beautiful nature by lake, forest, trees, and the calming effect that it has. So it's scientifically proven on how it can help us calm down, reduce depression, and generally help us in a good mood. And the last thing I'll call out is enhanced memory and focus. I think that's another one that we can probably benefit from. And we probably implicitly experience this where when we go for a walk, we may think we think more clearly. It clears our head. It gives us a sense of creativity. And it also improves memory retention and concentration compared to urban settings. So when we put that all this together in terms of stress reduction, enhancing cognitive function, improving air quality, it just seems like go get a plant or go see a plant right away kind of action comes to mind. And, you know, at the end of the day, as we've seen all of our episodes and we reflect on it, we know when something feels good, and incorporating plants into our lives intentionally, which is not that hard to do, can be a great step in our well-being journey. So, Christine, I will ask you, personally, what are some benefits perhaps you experienced when you interact with plants?
Yeah. Well, two things come to mind. I think I mentioned on one of the previous episodes that I was going to do a forest bathing event. And when I told my husband that, he's like, just rolls his eyes. Like, what are you getting into now? Like, it's always something wacky. And sure. The first thing he's like, are your clothes on? I need to know this.
When you say bathing, yes. What do you mean?
I was like, I think so. They didn't tell me that they were not going to be on. So anyway, I go to the gardens with a couple other friends who had done this before. And this started, I guess, in the 1980s. There was a researcher who, like you were talking about earlier, wanted to study all of the positive benefits of being in nature. And they found that immersing yourself in plants, trees, you know, everything around you, flora and fauna, really made a difference. And what they learned scientifically is that trees in particular give off phytoncides. And these are actually the defense mechanisms that trees use to fight off insects and to keep thriving and keep living. And they started studying what happens when people spend more time in nature. And they were finding that these particular chemicals that the trees get off, the good chemicals, actually help boost immunity in people. And they're finding that even, you know, your cancer cells, you know, could respond, you know, that kind of thwarts off that disease, just a boost of immunity. And of course, all of the things that you mentioned, like reducing stress, feeling better. So forest bathing was awesome. I mean, the couple things that we did, it was all about senses. So you know, quieted yourself and first listened to the closest sound, farthest sound, and it was, you know, the birds chirping and the louder bird chirping or the rain. There was a little bit of rain that day. It just kind of quieted you. Then you walk through this garden and, you know, she invited us to just like look at the movement. Look at the movement of plants, look at the movement of the butterflies, and just, again, calm yourself. Then there was smell. We had some ginger tea. There was some taste. There was, you know, touch of the trees and just feeling, what did you expect when you looked at it? And was that expectation met or was it different? Just, you know, sort of immersing yourself. Beautiful day, very relaxing. It was 90 minutes of just, you know, kind of an escape to nature.
That sounds amazing. And the clothes were on?
Yes, clothes were on.
Okay.
Clothes were on.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
I think that's a, thank you for sharing that experience, Christine. That's an interesting expression of that experience, forest bathing. Mm-hmm. I initially struggled with it as well. I'm like, okay, I know forest, we go for a walk, for a hike, but what is the bathing part? So, and then we also have the terminology sound bath. And I guess we are calling out the immersive aspect of this. And I think just taking a few minutes to pay attention to what's going on around us, even if it is a pot of plant, it just interrupts the stress cycle. I find that in myself as well. And how the nature is constantly changing from day to day. We have several magnolia trees in our backyard, and I take a look at them in the morning. And new blooms are coming out, old blooms are falling off the tree, like this constant renewal cycle. And I think it probably deepens, I feel like, sense of gratitude that we have for the day and the opportunity ahead of us. It is big benefit. In my attempt to pass this on to my college kids at the time, I'm like, okay, you have to have a plant in your environment. And I also know you will not take care of this plant. So they each got a pot of cactus, and I'm like, okay, it is still something, and we know this is not gonna die. So so that was our attempt of infusing plant into their environment. And I find even artificial plants can still have a positive effect. Yeah. We ended up moving them back home after college, and one of the artificial plants ended up next to our coffee maker. You know, very simple. We got it from Target, nothing too crazy about it. But I look at this plant and the greenness, I'm like, this puts me in a good mood as I make my coffee. And this is completely artificial plant. I am not going to try to make up and say this is this exquisite plant we are taking care of. It is not. But like, it's amazing the effect of, you know, small things making a big difference. And it doesn't include diet. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think seeing an artificial plant and knowing it's going to be forever that beautiful, yes, is also makes you happy. It's funny you mentioned the college experience. It just brought a memory back to me. My roommate and I, we had this green ivy, and the thing wouldn't die. Like, we didn't take care of it. We hardly watered it. It lived for years and years and years beyond college. We actually split it when we left. We're like, we can't leave old greeny. So we took it with us, and it lived like with me for like another, I don't know, 10 years or so. I think I went away on a long vacation and finally just gave in, but
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Surviving beyond all expectations.
Exactly.
And keeping you company.
Totally.
You make a good point with the artificial plants. I think there is the assurance that it will be there for you day after day, unless something very drastic happens. So that is maybe complement the nature with the artificial, just to mix it up a bit. So let's talk about top plants for mental well-being. Some of these we are very familiar with. I will start out with some maybe that are less familiar to enhance our education here. So one is, which actually I don't have direct experience with these plants. I will be interested, Christine, if you have come across them. One is called snake plant. Which is easy to care for, and it improves air quality, which can also enhance focus and relaxation. So that is different. Another one is spider plant. You have it? What does it look like?
That's the snake plant. I didn't know what they look like. It's kind of cool looking. I mean, it's, I've never come across that.
Right. So I think probably now after this, we go to a garden center or one of these places that procure plants. I may actually sound smart and ask about these plants as though I have some gardening acumen.
And just looking at the picture, like for our listeners, it's kind of just this like green plant with lots of straight up leaves. And I think the reason why they call it a snake plant is if you look really closely, it looks like a snake skin. There's like patterns on the leaves. It looks very much like a snake skin.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We are learning something every day. So it's something to think about. I think a lot of these plants we are going to call out, they have just the element of greenery that is specific to them. Another one for us to look at that I think is common, perhaps I didn't know that's what it was called, and we probably have seen it a lot, is spider plant, which is also known as a popular house plant. Also a contributor to purifying the air and creating a soothing environment. Again, it's one of those that just, I think called spider because it just overflows from the pot and goes in a lot of directions with a darker green on the edges and a lighter green in the middle.
Yeah. And that one I have had before, and you can take off the little shoots, like these little baby spider plants, and they and replant them, and then they grow like almost like ferns, you know.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then as I am looking up what the plants look like real time, it pops up Williams Sonoma offers live spider house plant 12 inches. So I did not realize Williams Sonoma offers also plants. So that's interesting. And another one I'll call out is Peace Lily, which is also known for its calming effect and reducing stress. So this is in addition to the qualities that we are also very familiar, I think, in general, calming effect of lavender, chamomile tea, jasmine, and I think some of them also being herbal teas is another dimension of the calming effect that that we have. And I think when I look at especially the British shows or European shows, is like put the kettle on anytime there's a stressful situation, put the kettle on. And I think it's just interesting, another dimension of gratitude, to look at these plants and see how much they are woven potentially into our lives in the way that we can consume, be healthy, as well as look at and enjoy them.
Yeah. And the peace lily can live for up to 20 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I think that one has the flower, too. Lily flower. Right.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Very pretty.
So, Christine, what are your additional thoughts on how we can incorporate those plants into our lives even more with intention? Any tips on that?
Well, at one plant you didn't mention that I just love are orchids. And I love them for a couple of reasons. I mean, first, you can't deny their beauty and all of the different types of orchids that you can encounter. Just like, it's just staggering that they make me stop and just look at them. And then there's for some reason, well, not for some reason, maybe because I was already drawn to them, but I have just a connection with that flower. First, when my father passed away, a business colleague, friend of mine, sent me orchids, like a big orchid plant. And this orchid lived for 15 years and bloomed all the time. And it just like reminded me of like, life goes on, you know, and it's just a beautiful thing. And then my mom, what she does with her orchids is just incredible. So she will, once they, you know, kind of bloom, she will attach them to her palm trees around her pool and they get connected. And then they start blooming out there in Florida, like most of the year, all year round. She has one palm tree that has over 100 orchids all blooming around it. And it is just something that is incredibly beautiful. So I love that, you know, it's just the gift that keeps on giving, and they're just so pretty to look at.
Wow, it's beautiful. Thank you, Christine, for sharing this story about your father's passing and the plant that went on to live on year after year in his memory, in his honor. Such a beautiful story. And orchids are special to me as well. It's just, I think we take away different things when we look at flowers and plants. Orchids, for me, exude a level of elegance, and you look at it, the beauty of it and the colors are pretty amazing. Actually, I just thought of a question I should ask you. Is your art inspired by flowers at any point in time? I know you use music a lot to inspire your art. I am curious if plants and flowers come into play.
Totally, totally. Actually, if you go to Art Gallery by Z, there's a number of pictures that are there that are flower inspired. I do a lot of art studies just to play with new techniques, and I'll do like six pieces on paper at the same time, and those are great opportunities to play with different flowers and colors and see how things interact. So flowers definitely come into it.
That's awesome. Another way inspiration finds its way to our lives, right? So this section, I had a lot of fun actually looking up and putting together. This is about the surprises plants have for us, fun and interesting facts that we typically probably don't think about. So I will just run through them, and maybe Christine, you can share some of them with me. So the first one is, apparently, bananas are berries, but strawberries aren't. So that is interesting to me. I would never have thought of bananas as berries, but apparently bananas meet the criteria for berries while strawberries do not. So go figure. That's why College of Agriculture probably is a fascinating discipline.
That's one funky berry.
It is a funky berry. I'm like, nobody thinks that. And, you know, when you get nutrition advice, it's like eat berries. They contain antioxidants. I don't think I ever hear bananas in that same sentence. Nope. So this one is very interesting, Christine. This one is about plants can recognize their siblings. So some plants grow better when surrounded by their genetic relatives and will even share nutrients with them. I think this starts coming into what plants can feel, react to, and communicate with one another. And I think I've seen studies that speak to how plants share roots and soil to adapt and support the system. So this one takes it to a whole other level.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that just is another example of how we are nature too. You know, the parallels are really pretty interesting, unless your family is dysfunctional and you need to take your roots somewhere else. But and, for the most maybe, part,
that's right. Maybe some plants will not do very well near their siblings. That would be another study. I feel like, Christine, we got to sign up for a degree in agriculture. We have so many hypotheses that we got to conduct studies around. That's right. I mean, just because sibling doesn't mean you are going to share the root system. That's a good point. All right. The next one up is caffeine is a natural pesticide. That sounds bad. Coffee plants apparently produce caffeine to ward off insects that might try to snack on their leaves. So that's interesting. I don't like to think about it in those terms that we are ingesting natural pesticide on a daily basis. But it is interesting how I think plants obviously evolve to survive and adapt to their environment.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that you can put coffee grounds around like the foundation of your house if you have an ant problem and they won't come in. I've never done that. Fortunately, no ant problems, but it's in the back of my mind.
Right. I think I heard that a little bit too. I may actually give it a try. The thing with coffee beans is the amazing smell that they have. Mm-hmm. That's very, very awakening, obviously. So I wouldn't mind to ward off insects with it as well in the process. Another one is bamboo that grows incredibly fast, to the order of 35 inches in a single day. So that is a lot of growth in a single day. And actually, I am glad, I guess they do, because pandas eat a lot of bamboo. They eat tons of it. And I guess that growth helps support that ecosystem. It's just interdependence, I should say, of one species with another and how it all works together. So it's interesting. That is tremendous growth.
Yeah, not good if your neighbor plants it and it spreads. That happened to a friend of mine. Like, her whole yard became overrun with this bamboo. They had to like have a real serious talk with the neighbor.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think they may have to have their own space, because we did walk through some bamboo setting our forests. I think it was in Hawaii, actually. And they seem to be pretty strong and pervasive. So and tall, really tall. So I guess be careful if you plant bamboo. What is it going to do to your neighbor and the adjacent plants? That's a good point.
Right.
This one you may like, Christine. I think you probably already know this, that vanilla comes from orchids. It's actually a pod of an orchid called Vanilla plenifolia. Did you know that?
I did not know that. And I do love vanilla. So that's pretty cool. These are a lot of these facts I did not know.
I did not know vanilla comes from orchids. Talk about a giving plant. Doing so many things for us. Here is another example. This one I am curious. I think you have looked into this a little bit, Christine. Trees can talk to each other, meaning through underground networks. We touched upon this a little bit. They share nutrients and distress signals when under attack. There is this notion of, can trees understand us? Can they react to our voice? I think the other piece is that it seems like they are definitely communicating with one another.
I've seen these clips, and this is what got me interested about, you know, did trees respond to our voices? Do trees respond to each other? I saw this clip, and two different ones, of women talking to this very leafy tree. Okay. And the branch is like right by her, and she keeps talking, and she's like, come closer, come closer. And the tree actually in about 30 seconds is coming closer to her voice. And I don't know if that's just like certain kind of trees. It sounds totally wacky. But then when you brought this topic up, I wanted to just look into it. And they say that, you know, plants do respond to frequencies. Okay. And the frequencies for plants and trees needs to be in the 50 to 120 hertz range that stimulates movement. Our human voices are typically between 85 and 250 hertz in terms of sounds. And while they don't obviously have ears or a brain to really, like, you know, process sounds, they do have what they call mechanoreceptors that detect vibrations. And they've done all these studies that show, yes, it can promote growth. Yes, they can react to sound waves, plant dependent on their biology and, you know, what kind of, they say, like, stomata they have to react to sound. Crazy.
It is interesting. I mean, I don't think we probably fully understand whether they are react or not, but I think what is probably fairly undisputed is they work together to adapt to the environment. And it is just interesting, again, respect for the nature. We put a pool in our backyard, and then this was long time ago. And we also had a very big magnolia tree in the corner that ended up going into its space. And of course, that didn't work too well. The tree was struggling. We did some, you know, tree-related nutrient therapy, as they call it. And then the roots just went in other directions. Probably went into the neighbor's yard, if I can guess. And then this tree now is totally thriving. I mean, I'm cool. So glad we didn't give up on it. And it's just to see the adaptation to the environment is just incredible. We talk a lot about resilience, grit, adaptation for ourselves, humans. And then I think you look at the nature, you observe how that happens on a daily basis is inspirational. Totally. But yeah, I don't know that we are going to get a response in the way that we consider response talking to the trees, but you never know. maybe we'll advance to the point of being able to communicate with trees. The last fact that I will call out is sunflowers, which I love. Again, they are a joyful, I think, flower type because they remind me of sunshine, the yellow color. But apparently sunflowers aren't just one flower. Each sunflower head is made up of hundreds of tiny flowers called florets, and they later become seeds. So when you look at it, it looks like a single flower, but it's actually made up of hundreds of tiny flowers, which become seeds, which probably is part of their, ongoing life cycle. So I think all of this is probably just scratching the surface here, just shows how much there is to learn and appreciate about the nature around us, whether you look at a spider plant, a snake plant, a cactus, or just take it on ourselves to study deeper. Just an amazing, nature unfolding around us every day.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I didn't know that fact about sunflowers. And we have, we've got this McKee Bescher sunflower fields that are in full bloom in July and August in my area in Maryland. And people go there because of the beauty and just the opportunity to take photos. It's really amazing. I've taken my painting and canvas out there and have painted sunflowers in the fields. And it is just amazing. But I never thought that a flower was hundreds or, lots of flowers, a single one. That's crazy.
Right, right. It is pretty amazing. So as our time winds down, what recommendations, Christine, can we share for ourselves and for our listeners to incorporate plants into our lives with more intention? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we recognize that even looking and caring for plants makes us feel good. So if you can find a place in your home for some greenery, you know, try and treat yourself to flowers more often. That's also, we didn't talk much about that, but having fresh flowers also is a mood booster. And there's lots of science behind that. So something that you can do there. And obviously, like a lot of these that you brought up, the plants for mental well-being, I'm really curious. I mean, I'm going to go, I think, to my local Home Depot and, you know, pick up a snake plant, maybe get a big peace lily, see if I can grow that sucker for, you know, a good number of years. Yeah, just get out in nature, change it up.
That's right. I think let's go visit a garden center, maybe look mm-hmm. with a little bit more intention as opposed to passing express like typically I do. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I think probably most of us have access, even in an urban setting, to a botanical garden. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those gardens are pretty amazing. They create a lot of diversity and they host fun events. Yes. The one in Houston hosts a sip and stroll event. You can just leisurely sip your wine and stroll the grounds with your friends, with your family. And I think with summer upon us, it gives us a lot of opportunity to just go buy a plant or plant a seed or and stroll in the nature, even if it is through Home Depot or garden center, place like that, and just learn something new about a plant.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention when I was talking about forest bathing, but there's a, like there's an app for everything, but there's a website where you can find the closest forest bathing activities in your own hometown. And they're everywhere. The guide who took us also does part-time in Florida. So she does things like where the manatees are swimming and, you know, some really cool experiences. So we'll definitely put that link in for our listeners if anyone is curious.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. That mm-hmm. sounds amazing. I have to look one up where one may exist near Houston because things are very flat. And what we mm-hmm. do have are magnolias, oak trees, and crepe myrtles, which are also beautiful and blooming this time of mm-hmm. year. So that would be amazing. Thank you, Christine. Mm-hmm. So I think we are going to sign off for today. This episode actually inspired us to think more deeply, especially given the time of year and summer ahead of us, on continuing to enhance our well-being by spending time outdoors. So I think we may dive into that in our next episode, creative and fun and joyful ways to do that. Till the next episode, we'll say bye for now.
All right. Take care, everyone.